7:18 a.m. We welcome to our newsmaker line, our good friend, John Lott, the head of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Good morning, John.
Doing great. I hope you're doing well, too.
We are. So I read this piece you had in the Real Clear Politics. Let me just read this. New research by you is forthcoming in the peer-reviewed economics journal Public Choice, and it finds evidence of around 255,000 excess votes, possibly as many as 368,000 for Joe Biden in the 2020 presidential election in six swing states where Donald Trump lodged accusations of fraud. Biden only carried these states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, by a total of 313,000 votes. Excluding Michigan, the gap was 159,000. Tell us about this study.
Right. Well, I'm not trying to relitigate the 2020 election, but I think given the concerns a lot of people have about possible problems, it's important to know what went wrong or might have gone wrong to try to avoid this in the future. I mean, you look at surveys. There's a survey out this month by Rasmussen Reports that shows that 34% of Democrats believe that there was sufficient fraud to alter the outcome of the election in the 2020 election. And obviously, you have large supermajorities of Republicans and independents who feel the same way. And, you know, that's pretty corrosive to people being involved in politics if they think that there is a continued problem. And so we had a lot of rules that were violated during the 2020 election. And it's important, I think, to try to measure the extent of the problem so that we can try to avoid that in the future.
John, you're a statistics guy. Let me ask you this. At some point, when we look at all these statistical analyses, that people's eyes glaze over because it's kind of hard to follow the thread of logic. Now, you say evidence of 255,000 excess votes. How do you define an excess vote, and how do you measure it?
Right. So the tests that I have are actually very simple tests. I mean, it took a lot of gathering of data. But let me go through the first one, for example, and that is one of the main accusations involved mail-in or absentee ballots. And so you have counties where fraud was alleged versus county being right next to other counties where there were no allegations by anybody that there were improper things going on. Now, you can't really just compare the whole counties in terms of get-out-the-vote efforts or other things because, you know, you have a county like Allegheny County next to Westmoreland in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, right.
It's Pittsburgh. You know, there's huge differences across the whole county that's there, big differences in terms of demographics and voter registration and what have you. And so what I aimed to do was to look at the precincts at the county border. So you have to understand that precincts tend to be very small. In Allegheny County, there are 1,323 precincts just within that one county. And so precincts are very small, very homogeneous areas. And so if I'm looking at two precincts, one on either side of the street that kind of is separated the county there, you know, you're talking about two small areas that are very similar demographically in terms of votes, in terms of how they voted.
Hey, John, Roger Simon here. Hey. You don't mind my breaking in here.
Roger Simon, by the way, is an all-star panelist. He's a columnist with the Epoch Times. He's in studio with us as our co-host every Thursday. Roger has a question for you, John.
Yeah, you started out by saying you don't want to relitigate the election, but when I hear that roughly a quarter of a million votes are essentially illegal, the first thing I want to do is relitigate the election.
Well, I just think, look, we can go and try to do that, but to be honest, I'm worried about what happens in future elections. And that's what I want to try to concentrate on. You know, maybe at some point in the past, this would have been something to go after. But I think that this is a significant
problem. You want to fix it, John, for the future. So your methodology here is you'll take two adjacent counties. I'm guessing that some of the counties that you're looking at got a lot of money from Mark Zuckerberg's Center for Technology and Civic Life to do kind of, quote, election administration. A lot of critics call that get out the vote for the Democrats. Am I right in that?
Yeah, sure. No. So let me, if I can just finish what I was trying to say earlier. So you have these two precincts that are very similar. I mean, they vary in just fractions of a percentage point in terms of how they voted in terms of in-person or absentee votes in 2016, for example. And if you look at how they voted in 2020 in terms of the in-person votes, they were also very similar. But in terms of the mail-in ballots, you find a big gap as soon as you walk across the street and are in the county where fraud was alleged. So one other thing just to point out, and that is the in-person votes are counted at the precinct level. The issues involving fraud or other things were occurring for the absentee or mail-in ballots that were counted centrally at some central county facility there. And so, you know, it's kind of hard. If you're going to go and have some get-out-the-vote effort, what you're going to do is it's a statewide campaign. You don't care about winning an individual precinct that's there. And you're going to target precincts based on their voter registration, based on the type of voters, whether they're, you know, black Democrats or whatever you're aiming for to be able to go and get. And when you have, you know, you can drive across the street between these counties, and you're not going to notice any difference in terms of the demographics or anything when you're talking about these very tiny areas.
So the excess vote, explain to us what the excess vote in these two precincts would have been. What was the evidence there, John?
Well, what you do is you compare the 2020 election outcomes in terms of the absentee ballots or mail-in ballots between these two precincts,
right,
relative to the relative shares they got in the in-person votes and the absentee votes in previous elections.
So what's your conclusion for the future would be to get rid of mail-in ballots, I presume?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that was a major problem that was occurring, and it was something which was done extra legally in terms of not going through state legislature.
Exactly. Anymore. What other recommendations do you have for 2022, John Lott?
Well, you know, I guess I would look to see it. Let me put it this way. If the election rules in 2020 were the same as the election rules in 2016, I strongly believe Trump would have won.
Yeah, that makes an awful lot. Georgia, for instance, right? Remember that? The state legislatures in Georgia did not authorize drop boxes. And in Georgia, the special...
Well, they didn't do it in any state.
None of these six states.
Right.
Yeah, in Wisconsin, for instance, right?
We're going to be seeing Dinesh D'Souza's movie pretty soon, I guess. He promised me to have a quick early look at it.
This was in Georgia where they supposedly had 200 mules who ballot harvested into the drop boxes. What level of optimism, final question for you, what level of optimism do you think that we'll have free and fair elections in 2022?
Well, you know, it depends on the state. There's some states that have moved to fix the problems, and there's others that have moved to make it even worse.
I mean, yeah, where is it worse?
Well, you have Illinois and California, for example, have moved to all mail-in elections.
Connecticut, too, is moving in that direction. They haven't finalized it, but, yeah, you're very good point. John Lott, president of Crime Prevention Research Center, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Come back again, if you would. We'll be back with more. Thank you, John. We'll be back with more after this. This is the Tennessee Star Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy. In studio, Roger Simon.